amen. Said amen. Praise God. Before you think you're too lost to be saved, there's nothing greater than grace. I mean, he's thankful for grace this morning. He's thankful for what Jesus died on the cross. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together for all of our visitors. Let them know how much we love them, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Now join with me and let's just thank Jesus. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Praise your name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thanks be unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord, and I mean that with all sincerity. And I long to be in the house of God. I long to be with like Christians. Amen. We're going to enjoy heaven if you love being in church. Amen. We're going to worship and praise the Lord for an eternity. Hope and wept that you're all doing well. Had a good festive weekend. And are ready to just join together in one mind and one accord as we stand in reverence to the Holy Ghost that's in this place this morning. My God is great, isn't He? Yeah. Look around you. God is great, isn't He? Amen. So wonderful. Man. We hear so many stories. We hear stories. I visited a young man yesterday, a Vietnam veteran, who's in Tanner Memorial Hospital in Carrollton. Just a skeleton of a man. Lost his hair. Just fighting for his very life. And I think he's only a couple of years maybe older than myself. We hear this morning of another person who's fighting for their life. We're blessed. Amen. We're very, very blessed. Amen. To be able to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. You have your Bibles. Amen. Glory to God. How many brought your sword with you? Go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. And to a very familiar story, one that God brought vividly to my mind this week. Man, I don't know why I try. I always lose when I try to talk God out of something. Hadn't won an argument yet. Man. But the flesh within me, I said, Lord, that's such a familiar story. God said, read it again. Amen. Read it again. In the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning with verse number 1, thank you for standing. I want to read verses 1 through 4 this morning. And Jacob dwelled in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for the opportunity and the desire that you've given us to come together today. Father, I pray your blessing and your anointing upon this congregation. Father, I ask that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel this morning. God, is nothing more than a mouthpiece for the Holy Ghost to speak to us. God, help us to be submissive and obedient, receptive to your word, God, and willing to obey your voice. Father, I pray for those who are hurting, those who are sick. So many are in the hospital. Father, we pray for their recovery. We ask again, God, that you would just touch and anoint. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Love Jesus one more time, and you may be seated. All right. Now, bear with me this morning, because I want to entitle this message, A Bloody Coat. A Bloody Coat. Let me emphasize that this was not an ordinary coat. There are very many unique characteristics about this particular coat. If you read Bible history, and if you read the history of Israel or Jacob and his love for Joseph, and the extraordinary love that he had for Joseph, being because he was a child in his old age, and he was also a child of his beloved Rachel, whom God had promised, man, that they would have a child also. But it was not an ordinary coat.
Bible history tells us it was longer than the usual coats worn by those who would tend sheep. It was a long tunic made with and colored with expensive dyes. It was very impressive to look at, Bible history tells us. And it was multicolored, a very truly unique particular piece of garment that was worn, because most tunics or most coats or cloaks that were worn by ordinary shepherds was just an ordinary plain piece of cloth, nothing really outstanding about it. But how many knows that God knows what He's doing? Amen. There is a reason for everything. And they find here that there was an even a reason for Joseph's coat of many colors. It was given with love from his father. I want you to remember that. If you don't remember anything else that I share with you this morning, understand that it was given with love from the heart of his loving father. Also, it was a prophetic sign of God's favor for Joseph. How many knows that sometimes God raises up an infant, amen, for his purpose? Many, many times the Bible points that out, that people were raised up for the service of God, and they were anointed from the very time that they were born. This was the case for Joseph. It was a prophetic sign of God's favor for Joseph and how he would use him. It truly identified him and it set him apart from the rest of his brothers. If you saw he and his other brothers approaching, you would know exactly which one was Joseph by the coat, a man that signified that he was his father's favorite. It would also be instrumental not only in the saving of Joseph's life, but also in the preservation of the children of Israel. I want you to pay particular attention to that, especially that latter part. Not only would it be instrumental in the sparing and the saving of Joseph's life, but also in the preservation of the children of Israel, of the children of Jacob, which would become the nation of Israel. How many knows that God's ahead of us? Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's ahead of you. What you worrying about? God's ahead of you. Why are you perplexed? God's ahead of you. Why are you musing over your next decision? Why are you wringing your hands saying, what am I going to do? Amen. God's ahead of you. He's already working it out. He has a plan. Amen. All He asks us to do is simply walk by faith, put our faith and trust in Him, and know without a shadow of a doubt. You really want to make Satan mad in the midst of all of your adversity? Praise God for working it out. Amen. Go ahead and shout victory. Go ahead and say, God has it under control. God has a plan. I may not understand it. You may not understand it. But God is working it out. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God that He works these situations out. Well, time passes by and we find this same Joseph at home with his father. He was the protected child. Very similar to my younger brother. I always ask Mom, why do you love him best? I don't, son. He's just little. You're the bigger brother. Okay. That and 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee, I guess. But he was there with his father. His brothers were out tending the sheep. Now this is where it gets very interesting. Because this protected child, this child of Jacob's old age, the one with preferential treatment, the one who, in fact, he was a helicopter father over. I would imagine when Joseph was out in the yard playing, I imagine that Rachel and Jacob were overseeing every little thing that he did. I believe that probably every time he went outside, they wanted to make sure that he was all right. His other brethren were kind of grown. They could kind of fend for themselves. But something about Joseph, and for them to be that careful about him, is extraordinary in the fact that Joseph says, that Jacob says, now Joseph, I want you to come here. He says, here am I. And I want you to go and see how your brothers are doing. See if it's well with them. See if it's well with the sheep. I want you to go out and find out how they're doing. Now, Joseph had already told on them once. Very similar to my little brother. Many, many times he would tell on me. Most of the time I was guilty, but that's beside the fact. He would continue to tell on me. Now, knowing this history, that Joseph had already told on his brothers once, Jacob is sending him right in the midst of adversity. Into a turbulent storm, if you will. Now, Joseph had the favor of God, okay? God knew what he was doing with Joseph. Many, many times we don't think that we have the favor of God when he sends us into the midst of adversity. But I've already told you, God's ahead of us. What we think is a little bit of adversity, what we think is just a little bit of turbulence, is a way for God to extend His glory, for God to extend His miraculous power, for God to intercede and turn things around for us. Joseph, come here, I want you to go check on your brothers. Come and tell me how they're doing and what they're doing. 17-year-old kid going out to check on his brothers, and you know the story. Joseph was known as the dreamer. It absolutely infuriated his brethren. Not only that he was his dad's favorite, but now he had this ability to dream dreams, and not only to dream them, but to interpret them. And many, many times, it was against the nature of the brethren. It depicted them bowing down to him. Who would ever think that? So he was despised, in so much that they couldn't even speak peaceably to them. I used to talk to my brother in some awful ways when mom and dad wasn't around. Come on. Couldn't even speak peaceably to him. And here was these brothers saw Joseph approaching. Now they knew it was Joseph because Joseph had on a unique coat. It was longer than theirs. Was brighter than theirs, prettier than theirs, and all of that just absolutely made them beside themselves with anger. The Bible says they began to conspire not only to beat him up, but to kill him. That's a lot of hatred. Come on, get your hatred under control. Let God take care. The Bible doesn't say vengeance is mine, says Eddie. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. You want to get rid of your hatred? Pray for that brother. Pray for that sister. Love them. Amen. Love them beyond their ability to even hate you. So they see Joseph coming. 17-year-old boy just be bopping down the road. Wonder what I'm going to tell on them about today. Well, they're not in the place they're supposed to be. They're not at Shechem. They're at Dothan. He's wandering around trying to find them. This guy sees him and says, what are you doing? He said, I'm hunting my brothers. He said, I think I heard them say they're going down to Dothan. So he goes down to Dothan to find them. Just as he's approaching, they're sitting around there. And all of a sudden, I don't know what they was talking about. Maybe shepherding, maybe what they're going to do when they got back home and all. But all of a sudden, everything about them changed. When they saw the brother that they despised, their whole demeanor changed. Their focus changed. And they began to talk about how we're going to kill him. Not if we're going to kill him, but how we're going to kill him. Now Reuben said, no, we can't do this. And you know, Reuben sometimes is depicted as a hero, but you know what Reuben's problem was? He didn't want to face his father. Come on. He might have gone along with him, but he loved his father. And he didn't want to face the anger of his father and having to go back and tell him that your beloved son, Joseph, is dead. So Reuben said, no, let us not kill him. Let us put him in some pit. And he had an ulterior motive there when he said, if we put him in this pit, then he thought within himself, I'll come back later time and I'll save him out of the pit and take him back to dead and everything will be back just like it always was. But it wouldn't satisfy the other brothers. No, they had hatred. They had despised him so long that now they were ready to act on that. So they did put him in the pit. But they also decided to sell him to a band of Ishmaelites. Come on. You remember the story. And I'm going to get to my point in just a minute. Just bear with me just a little if you would. So Reuben comes back, goes to the pit in expectation of delivering his brother. Can I pause to say, if you are planning to deliver your brother, you better do it now. Don't put it off. He may not be there when the opportune time for you is. If you know a brother, if you know a sister, if you know a loved one, if you have a child, if you have a husband or you have a wife, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off to a convenient time. Don't put it off to the next revival. Don't put it off to the Lord leads you. I believe the Lord is leading us, amen, to witness to and to save souls today. I believe the time for souls to be saved is in the now. Now is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. Man, if you need to witness to somebody, do it now. So Reuben comes back to an empty pit. Joseph has already been drawn out. Now comes the bloody coat. As I was reminiscing this story and reading it over and over and over, and I was thinking about how everything played out. First of all, it doesn't look like it is a pleasant situation for Joseph. Can I remind us sometimes when God is working out a situation for us, it's not always the pleasant thing for us. It's the best for us. It just doesn't seem like it's the pleasant thing for us. I would imagine sitting in the bottom of that pit with all of the critters and the insects and the stench and the dampness of that pit. The Bible says there was no water in it, but I imagine there once was, and probably now there was mold, and it was not a pleasant situation. Amen. But let me tell you something. Sometimes before deliverance comes, we are in an unpleasant situation. We look around us and we say, God, why am I here? God, can you not hear me? God, why did you put me in this situation? Let me tell you something. The pit was what saved his life. Glory to God. Sometimes the lowest that we can get is what saves our spiritual life. Because I believe with all of my heart, no matter how long we stay in the pit, deliverance is on the way. Come on. Victory is on the way. It's on the horizon. Glory to God. God will move in his time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Reuben is upset. Reuben's thinking, what am I father going to do? What am I going to say to him? The lad is not here. He's gone. Not only that, the other brothers conspire a story. They're going to take the beloved coat of many colors. And they're going to take a kid, a small goat, man, to be a sacrificial lamb. And they kill it. And they take that wonderful, unique coat of many colors. I do not know if Jacob actually made that coat, or knowing Jacob's wealth and the many contacts that he had, it's quite possibly he had someone to make it for him. But I read somewhere where the dyes were very costly. It was not just something that an ordinary shepherd kept around the house. There was a lot of anticipation. There was a lot of planning. And there was a lot of things that went into the making of that coat. Notwithstanding love as well. And now they've taken that coat and they've dipped it in blood. And they've concocted a lie. Come on, man. You call it a story. I call it a lie. When I was little, I used to think a story was not quite as bad as a lie. But an untruthful story is a lie. I said an untruthful story is a lie. You better check it out before you repeat something you have heard. Come on. You don't know how hurtful. You don't know how detrimental. You don't know how bad that can cause hurt to come on somebody. You better say, ask yourself, is that going to be beneficial or is that going to be hurtful? And if it's hurtful, you better leave it there. They concocted a lie. They knew this lie would be torment to their father. But they also knew that we're rid of Joseph.
ain't got to face him no more. That old dreamer. How dare him dream that we're going to be bowing down to him. We're giving reverence to him. Who does he think he is? Come on. You see, in that little story, you don't need to get even with them. God will. Why are you worried? Why are you fretting over that? Glory to God. Just wash your hands of it. Give it to God and say, Lord, have your way. Daddy, here's the thing. We found this coat. And it's covered in blood. It is. Do you recognize this coat? No, Father Jacob looks at it. Yes, he knows immediately it is the coat that he gave from his heart to his beloved Joseph. It is undeniable. There's not another coat around, amen, that mimics that coat that he made for Joseph. And he begins to mourn. And he begins to fret. And he begins to say, certainly some wild beast has actually torn Joseph into pieces. And this is all that I have to remind me. And he begins to go into mourning and sackcloth and ashes. And the family come and try to comfort him. And he cannot be comforted because of the great love that he had for this son. And don't you imagine somewhere in the back of his mind is the guilt factor. Why did I send him to the brethren? Come on. If you're battling with that today, just understand it's not the end of the story yet. Come on. Come on. Don't you give up on God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Maybe some sad thing has happened in your life. And you thought it was all over. Amen. When the fact may be it's the very beginning of a great blessing that God is about to bestow upon you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes! This is Joseph's coat. Surely some beast has torn him into pieces. And he cannot be comforted. Now, there's some interesting facts about Joseph. What his brothers could not see, what his brothers could not identify because of the hatred that they had for him, could not realize that he was in fact an instrument of God. Now, as an instrument of God, if you are truly sold out to God, you may not be a people pleaser. In fact, you may be ridiculed. God forbid, in some instances, it may even be reaching a point of hatred. Because all they see is those physical things. All they see in you what makes them uncomfortable. I don't know if I could get a testimony out of this congregation, but I remember when I got saved, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my friends kind of turned on me. I thought it was me. In hindsight, it was them. I didn't like to do what they're doing. I didn't like to say the things that they were saying. I didn't like to be associated with the things that come out of their mouths. Why? Because I'm a goody-goody? No, because I was a meanie-meanie that got saved by a goody-goody. Glory to God. I'm a different person today than I was then. It's not about me. It's all about Him. There's no righteousness in me. It's all in Him. I'm a different vessel today because of the love, the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Joseph the dreamer could also interpret dreams. The Bible tells us later in that particular chapter, or the chapters after that, that the Lord was with Joseph, causing him to prosper. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I like associating with prosperous folks. Amen. I married a prosperous woman. She liked to work, and I liked to let her. Amen. Bless the Lord. Give her opportunity. I used to pray for the Lord to send her clients. Because when she's blessed, I'm blessed. I love associating with prosperous folks. Come on, get with me now. I'm not talking material things. There's something exciting about buddying up to a born-again believer. Just when I need help, I got somebody to pray with me. I like associating with prosperous folks. I like it when they're blessed, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I like to communicate with them. I like to go hunting with them. I like to be around prosperous folks. God's blessing was prosperous upon Joseph, and those around him were blessed. Man. Even so much that he found grace in the eyes of those who met him. Egyptians. Even his so-called enemies found favor in him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Too many folks are worried about other friendship. My one true friend is Jesus. Hallelujah. And I can be around the saints of God to enjoy the blessings of God. He found favor even in those who met him. Even Pharaoh said Joseph was discreet and wise, and God's Spirit was with him. Wait a minute. Wasn't this the 17-year-old boy that was thrown in a pit?
Come on.
Karen used to sing a song, "He's Still Working on Me." Amen. How many knows I'm not there yet? But I'm not there either. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Pharaoh said he's discreet, he's wise, and God's Spirit is with him. And from that association, you can go back and fill in the blanks. I ain't got all day. But from that association, Joseph became second in command of all Egypt. Amen. How many knows they brought him out of a prison cell? An absolute innocent person in prison cell. God, you know this ain't my fault. What'd you put me in jail for? What'd you put me in this burden for? Why am I facing this trial? I'm innocent. I didn't say it. I didn't do it. And I got accused of it. And now I'm having to reap the consequences. Every cell door that I have read in the Bible became opened. Stocks became free. Fire couldn't burn. Glory to God. And God got the glory in every situation. You're where you are now because God's about to do something magnificent in your life. Brought him out. Told him the dream he had. Not only was Joseph a dreamer, but remember he was also an interpreter of dreams, given by the ability of God. He told Pharaoh exactly what's going to happen. He's going to have 7 good years, 7 bad years. In those 7 good years, you better lay up storage, get ready, because there's going to come a famine.
How many knows that God is true to His Word? For 7 years, they're very productive. Able to feed Egypt and able to put it in the storage bins. Corn on top of corn on top of corn. You know the story. Then after the 7 years, famine hit and it hit hard. And it affected the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, who were to be God's anointed people, who were now in Canaan, but the timing wasn't right for them to be perpetually or constantly in Canaan. If they would have stayed in Canaan, they would have perished. The famine was that severe. Some folks say, man, what a stroke of luck. What a coincidence that it just so happened. Let me tell you something. I can trace it back to a bloody coat. A bloody coat. A gift from the Father. Not only saved the Son and resurrected Him out of the pit, but placed Him in a palace. Who would have thunk it? God knows what He's doing. God has a plan. Hallelujah. And now He has the ability to call His family to come to Egypt and to be saved, to be spared. Now Joseph, being a man of God, being anointed of God, was still a human being. Practical joker, if you would. Somebody once told me, and I said, man, I've never seen that side of you. He said, there's a Cain and Abel in all of us. Come on. That Cain rises up every once in a while. My wife saw a different side of me after I said, I do. Thank God for grace. Amen. So Joseph kind of plays with his brothers a little bit. Just enough to get even, kind of jab them a little bit. Y'all hold on to your sanctification. I'm going to share some with you. My daddy owned a grocery store 16 years. I look back on it, we didn't give him our best, me and my brother. A lot of times when we could have been more helpful, we was more harmful. A lot of times we was in the back stock room eating tater chips and drinking Mountain Dews when we should have been out stacking stock on the shelves. And Daddy was up there one day and he was standing there talking to a salesman. The counter was there. Daddy was here ringing up right there at the cash register. My brother and myself, we was in the back horsing around, playing around. Now, I wouldn't know if I was driving age or not, but we was in our teenage years. And I don't know if it was for all the times that Dennis told on me. Could have had something to do with it. I don't know if that Cain rose up in me or whatever it was, but something got a hold of me, and it wasn't the Holy Ghost. And we was bagging up potatoes, and we emptied the basket. We had a shopping cart there. And I told Dennis, I said, get in this buggy, and I'll spin you around. Now, Dennis is a college graduate doing accounting and bookwork. He wasn't then. And he climbed into the shopping cart. And his legs hung over the front. And his legs on that, and he sat there. So I spin him around once, spin him around twice, spin him around the third time. But the third time, that Cain rose up in me so bad that I put my foot on the back and I stopped it and I shoved it. And it went out of the stock room and it rolled down the aisle.
And Dennis is trying to climb out, but he's too much in it.
And it rolls right up to the counter where Daddy's standing here, and the salesman's standing there, and the salesman does one of them. And Dennis rolls up right to the counter, right between them. I was in the back with convulsions, thinking that's the greatest thing I'd ever seen in my life. My daddy, bless his heart, he said, "Boy, get out of there and put that buggy up." Whatever it was that got a hold of me, got a hold of Joseph. He started messing with his brothers. You know, putting money back in their sack and the cup and telling them, "You ain't going to get nothing until you bring your little brother." Found out he had a little brother. "How's your daddy doing? Got a little brother." And oh my Lord, these brethren, I mean, you talk about a repentive state. Because they know they done messed up one. And they know if they messed up and brought Benjamin over and he didn't make it back, man, they was up the creek. Amen. But finally, the love that was in Joseph overwhelmed the hurt. Let me say that again. I said, finally, the love that was in Joseph overwhelmed the hurt. It pushed it aside. Come on. It was hurt that was intentional. It was hurt that actually turned into hatred. But Joseph had so much of the love of God in him, and he had the right spirit within him, he pushed that aside to reach out to his brothers, to help them that wronged him, to help them that would have killed him. And I can trace that back to a bloody coat. To a bloody coat. Something that seemed a little insignificant became a very instrumental figure in the plan of God. Something that may look little to our eyes can become very big in God's eyes when it becomes instrumental, not only in the saving of Joseph, but of the sparing of the children of Israel, not just Jacob and his family, but Jacob and his descendants. Come on, they were spared. They were spared because Joseph wasn't killed. The coat, amen, was dipped in blood. And I prayed and I sought God. And I said, "God, let me never, ever overlook the little things that you do that absolutely constitutes the bigger picture. Let me never question you. Wherever I am now, is where you want me to be." Okay? Whether it's pleasant or not, it's where you want me to be. And Father, give me the grace to understand that where you want me to be is where I want to be. Because I can't see any further than just today. But you hold this whole world in your hands. Amen. God's not finished. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "God's not finished. God's not finished. Don't you worry. Don't you fret. God's not finished." Amen. He's still working it out for you. He's going to make a way. Hallelujah. Tell that same neighbor, "He's going to make a way." Hallelujah. Praise God. A gift from the Father became salvation for a people. A gift from a father became salvation for a people. I'm reminded of a precious verse found in the book of St. John, chapter number 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world." I want you to understand that God loved Joseph more than the other brothers, but he did love the brothers. May not have loved their actions, but he loved the brothers. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Another time, another place, but another gift. Yeah. Not this time. Not this time a bloody coat, but a bloody son. A bloody Savior. Who loved us so much that He willingly gave His life. Someone told me recently that there's a move to try to remove the word blood out of songs, out of hymnals. Try to take the blood out. You take the blood out, you've taken the gift out. You can't deny the blood. The bloody coat was instrumental. The bloody body of Jesus Christ was instrumental. Because God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Will you become repentant as the other brothers did? Or in fact, if you are the one that you identify as Joseph, the one who loves others, will you fall upon their necks and forgive them and kiss them as Joseph forgave his brethren? Either way, you need the love of God. Either way, you need salvation. As we stand today, as the music returns, would you bow your heads in reverence to the Spirit of God that is in this place this morning? What a beautiful story. One that, in hindsight, we look over, sometimes we don't really understand. But in the end, we say, oh yeah, I see what God was doing now. When we look back, it's very easy to have faith. I call it after the fact faith. After that, we see God has moved. But many, many times, there's scales on our eyes when we try to look into the future and say, God, I'm claiming it and I'm calling it done. Today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this congregation, you have not received Jesus Christ. You have not been born again. I don't know a better day than right now. I don't know a better time. As they play something, would you come? If you feel the convicting power of God this morning, would you come? If you've had hurt and animosity in your heart, you can't seem to forgive, would you come? Would you leave it at the altar this morning while they play? Is there one that would come forward? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please, every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sometimes it takes a mountain.
Yeah, but sometimes.
Sometimes a troubled sea.
That's what we don't understand.
Sometimes it takes a desert.
We don't like the desert.
To get a hold, of me.
Come on, elders. Come around. Let's pray. Come on, elders.
Your love is so much stronger. Whatever troubles me, sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and